You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Good afternoon, Tuscaloosa. Welcome in. This is the Joe Gaither Show and, of course, Internet World. I hope you guys are having a wonderful Monday. This is the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central as a part of the Bama Central Broadcasting Network. I'm Joe Gaither, obviously, and you guys, the listeners, you guys can join me on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube if you want to find me at JoeGaither6. If you want to jump on and join us, leave me any comments, questions, queries, or complaints right there on the Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube side. You can find me at JoeGaither6. It's going to be a fun show today. I want to encourage you to listen to our other Bama Central podcast, All Things Bama, and Blue Collar Unplugged. Our friends Blake Byler and Matthew Gibson handling the Blue Collar Unplugged podcast. They'll be putting out new episodes about Alabama basketball very, very soon. But we're going to have a fun Monday. We're going to have maybe an interesting Monday because I am operating on Team No Sleep. I'm operating on a little bit of delirium. It might be an interesting Joe Gaither show today because, well, to operate on delirium for this reason is really, really exciting. Alabama baseball winning the Tuscaloosa Regional. So we'll start right there. We'll move into Montana Fouts, and then we'll finish with Alabama football recruiting. Alabama football recruiting had two big commitments, two nice commitments over the weekend. So we'll finish with that. But let's start with why I was up till 3 in the morning last night, as maybe many of you guys were. I don't know how many of you guys called into work today. I'm very blessed. I'm lucky to have a boss who understands kind of what was going on. He's been a little leaning this morning, but we're trying to bust it out and have a great Monday just the same. Look, it was 3 late nights at the Joe this past weekend, but was it worth it? Absolutely! Absolutely worth it. Alabama Crimson Tide takes down Nickel 4-3 on Friday night. Walks it off on Friday night. Deep into the night, Jim Jarvis coming around, gets his shirt ripped off. Jim Jarvis with a single to score and walk it off to win against Nichols. And honestly, Nichols on Friday, you got to give him a lot of credit because Jacob Mayers ended up, he was straight dealing. He had cheddar cheese gas on the mound for Nichols. And so, honestly, Alabama, just hugely, hugely important for Alabama to win that first game on Friday and not get sent into the loser's bracket event, because what ended up happening, Nichols gets thrown on Saturday. They run out of arms. They never come back. Troy, after Alabama beats Troy on Saturday, they ended up running out of arms and never come back. So you don't want to fall into the loser's bracket of these events. And so it's hugely, hugely important for Alabama to take care of business on Friday against the against Nichols Colonels. And I got to say, Nichols out of what? Thibodaux, Louisiana. I got to give them a lot of credit because they brought a lot of people. They brought a huge contingent to the Tuscaloosa Regional, and it added really Boston College and Troy, of course, Troy being close, added a huge element of the atmosphere. I know Alabama fans had a huge contingent there as well over the weekend. But Nichols on Friday night had a great contingent of people saying, "Let's go Colonels, let's go Colonels." It was a great weekend of baseball in the Joe. And if you didn't get to it, I'm sorry, because it was a lot of fun. Yes, it was late nights, and people, you know, some people paid penance with their lack of sleep. But we're just going to kind of open it up, the first part of this show, with talking about the weekend, because I was blown away. One, just the experiences to be in Sewell-Thomas Stadium, the first time 17 years that Alabama was hosting a regional, and really, you could feel the palpable energy. You could feel the palpable energy in the Joe throughout through the whole weekend, and the rain delay on Friday night didn't damper anything. The rain delay on Sunday didn't damper anything. Yeah, the people maybe were a little more restless. If anything, on Sunday, I think it created the rain delay on Sunday added to the feral element, the feral atmosphere of the crowd. We'll get into Sunday in just a little bit, but just the crowd was incredible all weekend long. Three great nights. What, 5,800? Is that what I saw? 5,800 people counted as a sellout for Sewell-Thomas Stadium, and just a lot of fun to be a part of that from a coverage standpoint, and really just watching it from an observer. All right, so Friday night, you scrape through, and you got to give a lot of credit to Luke Holman. Luke Holman on Friday night allowed Alabama's bats to maybe not be as effective, because Luke kept Alabama in the game. Every time Nichols scored, Alabama would respond, but Luke Holman kept Alabama in the game by only limiting them to the three runs. It really just kind of looked like on Friday night which pitcher was going to blink first, Jacob Mayers or Luke Holman. And fortunately, you know, I don't really want to even disparage Jacob Mayers in that way, but as a freshman, you're gonna end up having you're gonna get touched up from time to time, and thankfully, luckily, it was Alabama coming out on top, walking it off in the ninth inning. So on Friday, you have one pitcher that's a close, low scoring pitcher's duel. Cool, fun. Saturday night was the exact opposite. I mean, G-Mac, he went out there, Garrett McMillan, and he gave it his all. But G-Mac, he got touched up a bit. He got touched up a bit, and Alabama and Troy ended up battling to an 11-8 win, or an 11-8 game. An 11-8 game that, if you watched it at all, you probably thought, Alabama, no way you should win this game. Improbable victory on Saturday night over the Troy Trojans. You're going into the ninth inning down 8 to 7, and you're thinking, okay, got to extend it, try to keep the winning streak going. You don't want to get forced into Sunday's afternoon game, basically, because that doomed Troy. Boston College had enough arms because they were a Division I program in the ACC, but I think it doomed Boston College as well on Sunday evening. There's only a limited amount of arms that you can throw throughout a weekend. So to go into the loser's bracket game, having extra games, it's complicated. It complicates the whole plan, and it makes for challenges to getting into the super regional round. So Saturday, you're in it with a offensive back and forth. And one thing I'll say, you know, even on Saturday, despite kind of falling behind, and even on Friday, not putting up as many runs, a theme throughout the weekend for these Alabama bats was patience at the plate. You really saw it on display in the first inning of the game last night, where Alabama ends up having with three walks and two hit by pitch. You end up scoring four runs, but only have one hit because you're patient at the plate and you can work the pitchers in deep in their counts and force them into mistakes. I think that's what ended up happening with Jacob Mayers on Friday night. He kind of, you know, the freshman, you're working. And I know that's what happened against Troy, and I know it's what happened against Boston College as well. Three different occasions where Alabama's bats, maturity at the plate, we're going to force you to throw a pitch that we can hit. We're not going to swing at bad pitches. Maybe we'll swing at a couple of, one here or there. But on the whole, as an outset, the team is not swinging at bad pitches. Therefore, they're forcing pitchers to hit their spots. They're forcing umpires to call strikes, and they're getting on base all three ways. They're getting on base with hits, walks, and hit by pitch because of their patience and their maturity at the plate. I think that's a really underrated aspect of this Alabama baseball team right now. I credit Chris Walsh for pointing that out to myself, Austin, and Will on Friday, but really it was just kind of evident once he said it. I said, duh, yes, now you say it, my eyes are open to it. You're exactly right. So the patience at the plate, and on Saturday night, incredible. You put up you open the game with a two spot, and so you're saying, oh, great, here we go, momentum. And then, boom, the roller coaster ride begins. Garrett McMillan gives up five runs in the next inning, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, now that we're out of that inning, we're not going to see him anymore. No, Jason Jackson continued to roll with Garrett McMillan, and Garrett McMillan in the fourth inning shut out the Detroit Trojans, so he responded very well. But in the fifth inning, gave up solo shot, solo home run, and the roller coaster was back on. It was back and forth all Saturday night. Six total lead changes throughout the evening. Six lead changes. Alabama taking the lead initially in the onset, won the second inning with a 2-0 inning, and then ultimately the sixth and final time in the ninth inning, thanks to a throwing error on the Troy Trojan. Well, really, okay, let's talk about that. It's being billed as a throwing error on the Troy Trojans' shortstop, but I wonder if it should not have been really a fielding error or an error on the first baseman. Yes, the throw was offline, but the third baseman was trying to do all he could do to stay on the bag and record the out. If the third baseman instead maybe came off the bag, secured the catch, secured the baseball from the shortstop, all right, maybe you don't get the out, but you also don't have two runners come in to take the lead on the play due to the error, due to the missed catch, due to the ball kind of squirting away and things happening from there. Now, that brings me to an interesting story in the press box, errors and hits. Look, all the SIDs do a great job, and I appreciate Alex Thompson. The Alabama SIDs did a great job all weekend long putting up with us for late nights. A weird occurrence in the press box on Saturday between the scorekeeper and the Troy SID. Now, look, the scorekeeper is favorable to Alabama. It's just going to be favorable to Alabama. He's the Alabama scorekeeper. He keeps the books for Alabama official. But like, really, there's a lot of judgment calls. There's judgment calls that go into this. So the Troy SID gets upset in the middle of the game because the scorekeeper has charged, has given the Alabama player a hit where Mata could have gone as an error and been an unearned hit. And I just didn't understand why he would be so upset about plays getting charged as a hit versus an error. Troy was charged with like four errors in the game. It could have been eight errors in the game. Subsequently, you had Andrew Pinckney get the triple later in the game. Andrew Pinckney's triple should have been caught for an out. But he ends up legging out a triple, and really just amazing game. So Andrew Pinckney keeps the rally going in the ninth inning with the triple. He said later afterwards, he was like, man, I had no pressure at that point. We were already up. And so at that point, I was just looking to swing away and try to see what we can do. Pinckney puts it out into the right field right next to the Rangers, and his speed gets him to third base. And you end up winning the game 11-9. Just incredible. Incredible resolve, resilience for this Alabama baseball team. Because, look, yes, you're never going to give up in a game. Like, the competitiveness, I'm never going to give up. But you can kind of say, hey, look, Troy's got us here. Like, you're two outs in the ninth inning. And it's a slow ground ball. It's a slow ground ball. It should be a routine play to end the game. Oh my gosh! But Alabama Jason Jackson, head coach Jason Jackson, called it Sewell Thomas. He called it Joe Magic. He said, "We got a little Joe Magic here," and I don't have any better way to describe it because honestly, it was a play that the shortstop handled, and it was just an errant throw. And who would have thought? Who would have thought that an errant throw would come in that scenario in that situation? If you weren't up to see it live, you missed it. The excitement, the pop at Sewell Thomas Stadium was insane. Check out Roger Hoover. Check out Roger Hoover, Crimson Tide Sports Network. You can see his booth cam for his reaction. And his reaction was a lot like everyone else's reaction. Just the blown away face of unbelievable that the shortstop would have the errant throw. All right, so that leads us to Sunday. Sunday, Alabama's in a basically catbird seat. You're in the catbird seat. You're welcoming Boston College into a game that is a game that if you win, you go to the first Super Regional since 2010. And it's incredible. Just that Alabama had gotten there and how they responded on Sunday. Boom, you get an hour and a half rain delay. Not really a big deal, but because it happened right off the rip. But the response, the Alabama team came out after an hour and a half, and it was just like, oh, we don't care. It's just like we're ready to roll. It's like no delay at all. Jacob McNary, oh my gosh, dealing gas last night. Cheddar cheese. Unbelievable gas last night from Jacob McNary and head coach Jason Jackson talking about, he was really keyed up. Maybe he was too keyed up because his adrenaline. Jacob McNary, 7 2/3 scoreless innings, 11 strikeouts, only giving up 3 hits. Just untouchable last night from the Boston by the Boston College Eagles. I mean, yeah, they were swinging, they were trying their best, but like he was insane. And so, that's what was so impressive. Friday, you get the close pitcher's duel. You get the, oh my gosh, we're on a knife edge. Saturday, you get the offensive back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you're on a knife edge. Sunday, Alabama comes out and says, no, we ain't messing around tonight. Jacob McNary is going to be dealing on the mound. We're going to pitch a shutout. We're going to deal a shutout, McNary on the mound, and the bats are going to subsequently do the same thing. The bats are going to be as alive, as aggressive, as patient as they have been throughout the whole weekend. And what do they do? They come out and put an 8 spot up. You put a 5 spot up in the second inning to get things really a 5 spot up in the first inning, right? They jumped right on him. 4 runs in the first inning to get the starting pitcher out of there, Andrew Roman. So you get the starting pitcher right out of there. The starting pitcher for Boston College doesn't even last an entire inning. That's how patient. Now, granted, he was errant. He was a little wild. 3 walks, 2 hit batters in the single inning. Yes, I get that. Part of that's on him, but part of that's on the Alabama batters with their patience. It's just impressive on Sunday to say, look, we've already won a close game pitcher's duel. Now we're going to win. We win an offensive battle, a roller coaster ride. Then on Sunday, we're just going to come out and dominate. We're going to come out and dominate. We're thankfully not going to stress out the Alabama faithful on Sunday. So what is Sunday? Sunday ended up being a war party. A war party in the Sewell Thomas Stadium. You had fans down there down the left field side giving the Ric Flair woos throughout the night. Woo, woo, woo. I mean, it was pure insanity. You had right field ragers out there, and literally, you got to check out the pictures on social media of all the beers, all the brews stacked up in right field. And that brings me to an interesting concept, an interesting issue. I hope it's not an issue. I don't want to make it an issue for the University of Alabama, but I noticed something last night at Sewell Thomas Stadium. And look, I like to have the occasional beverage. I enjoy a beverage at a ball game for sure. But I noticed this. Oh, correct me if I'm wrong, listener land out there in the internet world. Wasn't yesterday Sunday? Yes, it was. Yesterday was Sunday. And don't the typical Sunday isn't Tuscaloosa under Sunday Blue laws? Now maybe I'm showing my ignorance here. Maybe there's provisions for Sewell Thomas Stadium and the Joe, but the way that I am familiar with alcohol laws on Sunday here in Tuscaloosa are that you can stop purchasing alcohol at 9 p.m. The game didn't start till 9:36. I can go into a restaurant here in Tuscaloosa and purchase a beverage on Sunday evening from 8, you know, all the way up from I think it's from noon to 9 p.m. Maybe that's the outdated law. But last night at Sewell Thomas Stadium, that law didn't exist. Now, I'm not here to play traffic cop or get somebody in trouble or narc or anything, but I was wondering that throughout the evening. I thought, it's Sunday. I'm seeing more fans continually buy beer. It's 10 o'clock. It's 10:30. One of my friends who I texted, I said, hey, are y'all still buying beer? He said, yeah, till 10:30. And I knew even that was a violation of the law. Well, the game didn't end till after midnight, and I believe the brews were still flowing. So I wonder if that was just a provision that Sewell Thomas Stadium was able to get with the city. I wonder. I don't know how that exactly works. I'm sure. I'm not insinuating that. the University of Alabama, the administration was breaking the law, but it was a little bit of an interesting. I wonder how they're getting away with that. Maybe I will kind of look that up. I asked a couple people yesterday. Hey. Do the Sunday laws, are they in effect here at Sewell Thomas Stadium? And I didn't really get a very straight answer. So that's kind of my wrap-up on baseball. Baseball was incredible this past weekend. Winning over Nickel, winning over Troy, winning over Boston College. Just incredible. And so Saturday, to cap it all off, to cap off the whole experience on Saturday, we are in our press conference last night, you know, roughly 12 hours ago, and The Boston College coach was as gracious as can be, absolutely as gracious as can be. And unfortunately, somebody, I think maybe an excited fan on their way out of the Joe on Sunday, hit the fire alarm. We had a fire alarm go off in the middle of the press conference, and just everybody was looking at each other like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening at 1 a.m. Give a lot of credit to the Boston College coach who he stayed around. He didn't complain, not one little bit. Now, ultimately, we let him go before the fire alarm was fixed, so there was no Boston College post-game press conference last night. But I got to give him a lot of credit for dealing with, one, the loss, and two, the fire alarm going off in the middle of what would have been his post-game press conference. Just a wild night at the Joe. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean for Alabama? Where does it leave us? The Alabama Crimson Tide, woo! You're going to Winston-Salem. You're going to North Carolina to take on the number one seed in the nation. And just, all right, Chris, does that scare you? Maybe a little, but no, it shouldn't scare you, Alabama. It shouldn't scare you, Alabama, because, look, we play in the SEC distance. Yeah, thank you very much. Driving distance. Eight-hour drive for the fans who are wanting to try to get to Winston-Salem this weekend. You want to support the Crimson Tide. Look, it shouldn't scare you at all. It should not scare you because you played in the SEC. You beat Vanderbilt here at home. You went on the road and you took on Florida. You played the who's who. You went on the road and you played Arkansas. Look at the rest of the regional matchups. Look at the rest of the results that have happened throughout the regional. You're seeing Tennessee has advanced. Tennessee's advanced. You're familiar with them. You played them. LSU is still playing. They had some weather mess up their Baton Rouge regional. South Carolina has advanced. Florida is still playing. Like, all these teams, you're not afraid to go into Wake Forest. Arkansas is still playing. So you still got a couple of these SEC schools still playing. They prepared you for this moment. It prepared you to play a three-game weekend series against Nichols, Troy, and Boston College. And now they've prepared you. This schedule has prepared you to go to Wake Forest this weekend. Look, I'm not going to front or lie to you. Of course, Wake Forest is the favorite. Of course, Wake Forest is likely is favored to win. But do I like our guys' chances? Hell yes. Yes, I do. The Alabama Crimson Tide, the guys have shown resiliency. My man CJ Watson commenting on Facebook earlier, Bama finding ways to win and capitalizing when mistakes are made by its opponent. I mean, that's exactly right. Alabama has not really beaten itself over the last couple of weeks. And really just has found ways to win. Has found ways to, no matter what, stay together. Fight. Stay together and work through adversity. So, am I intimidated this week going to Wake Forest? No. Do I see the number one next to their name? Yes. And I recognize they've earned that by right of being a great team. They scored I think I saw something like 27 runs through three games. They scored a bunch of runs this past weekend at their regional. Took care of business. They're the number one team for a reason. But Alabama, man, Alabama can absolutely go into Wake Forest this coming weekend and get to Omaha. And we will pay attention to it right here on BamaCentral.com. We're going to be sending our guys Austin Hannon and Will Miller up there. Maybe Katie Windham will be up there to supervise. You can follow them on Twitter at Austin Hannon SI and at Real WB Miller for all of their coverage as they're going to hit the road. All right, before we wrap the baseball conversation up and hit into softball real quick, CJ Watson also asked, and you're welcome to ask any question on the Facebook side of things. Throw in your comments on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. CJ Watson asking, has Coach Jackson done enough to remove the interim tag? Now, look, I'm not Greg Byrne. I'm not going to pretend to be. Greg Byrne had an amazing week last week. Greg Byrne flying from Destin to participate Destin and the Miramar people would be upset with me. Flying from Miramar to out there in Oklahoma City to watch the Alabama softball team compete, and then flying right back from Oklahoma City to Tuscaloosa to watch the baseball team compete. Greg Byrne getting the miles in on the Alabama jet. But look, he is going to have a decision to make. Jason Jackson is not making it easy on him to say, you know what, thanks for your service, but no thanks. I'm not going to pretend to know the college baseball world in that fashion. I've heard a lot of names. I've heard a Southern Miss name. I've heard a lot of rumors about just different guys from smaller schools stepping up. But Jason Jackson, you're 13-4 now since you've taken over as interim head coach. All the players have been extremely complimentary of you. Now let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. They're not going to out and out say in a press conference, this coach sucks. They wouldn't do that. But they have been, I will be honest and note, they've been extremely complimentary of Jason Jackson, of his leadership, and of his organization. So, look, has he done enough? For me, as a casual, yes, certainly. If Greg Byrne rolls out and says, hey, look, Jason Jackson's going to take over this program, for me, as a casual, and I'm labeling myself as a I know myself, the key to happiness, knowing yourself. As a casual, I would be perfectly okay with it, especially off of what I've seen for these couple of weeks. Maybe it's lightning in a bottle. Maybe it's the right place, right time, and it's not going to be sustainable for Jason Jackson. Or maybe he just kind of has seen this program operate for a handful of years and knows exactly the way he wants to or the way he thinks it should have been led or should be led. And you're seeing that put out to fruition over these last, what, 5-6 weeks or so. So if Jason Jackson ultimately ends up becoming the head coach, I think I'd be A-okay with it. Okay, all right.
Hey, everybody. Happy June.
Happy June it is. And, okay, so the Alabama softball team goes out to Oklahoma City this past weekend. Almost an oversight for me, almost an afterthought for me, due to the excitement that Alabama baseball has given us. But we have to touch on two different storylines. One, thank you, Montana. Thank you, Montana. Montana felt her swan song is in an Alabama uniform. And look, we all know that he wanted to get a national championship on her resume as probably the best Alabama pitcher to ever participate in the program. Does it stink? Yes, it does. But you look through the annals of Alabama softball and some of the all-time greats, Haley McClenny, Kretschmann, Haley McClenny and Lauren Kretschmann? Kelly Kretschmann, not Lauren. Kelly Kretschmann, you dummy. Have had great careers, but no national championships. Does it stink? Yes. Montana gets out to the College World Series three different times in her career. And I'm seeing lots of people on social media, oh, fire Patrick Murphy for wasting Montana's career, fire Murphy, oh, he's lost it, oh, we need a hitting coach, oh, he's lost it, XYZ, oh, he's no good, he's over the hill. Look, let's remind you guys, Patrick Murphy built this program from nothing to where they are right now. 14 World Series appearances. You know, Tennessee sure would like one title. Tennessee's been out there, what, 12, 13 times? No titles.
Look, does it stink that he's only won one? Yes, he does. I would love to have won one every year. I'd love to win at the football rate where you're going out there nine times and you're winning six of them. Like, come on. We all would be. But it's just not going to work that way in diamond sports. Now, what else did Patrick Murphy say after getting eliminated on Friday? He said that there would the administration has basically given him or has told him that we're hiring a hitting coach. That's been a lot of people's complaint over the last couple of years. Let's all pull the curtain back. We've had a hitting coach. Patrick Murphy has served in that role, and he explained after the game that he's had a volunteer assistant serving in that role. But now they'll have a paid person in that role. They'll be able to put that person on the payroll. Now, will that help as far as quality? Yes. You've had hitting coaches on the roster. Now, whether they're paid or whether they are Patrick Murphy doing two roles at once, much like offensive coordinator and head coach, sure. Okay, Murph's always been dealing with budget issues, scholarship limitations. That's always a factor on the non-revenue sports. That's always a factor on the diamond sports. And so, yes, you've had a volunteer assistant working with the hitters, working with the batters, working with the approach to the plate. And now you will have a paid person. You will have a paid assistant working with the batters, working with the hitters at the plate. And I think that's great. I think that's a good thing. But I think that shows that's a small microcosm of the larger contingent of the Alabama fan base not really understanding over the last couple of years what's really been going on on the softball staff. You've had hitting coaches. It's not like they're just sending them up there, slapping them on the ass and saying, swing away, lady, swing away, good luck, look for a fastball, hit it hard. No, they're getting a lot more coaching than that. Like me in the dugout, I'd say, hey, man, see ball, hit ball. But no, they're getting a lot more coaching than that. They have been getting a lot more coaching than that. Now, it'll just be paid coaching. And I think that is a good thing. I don't know if Murphy will just use the volunteer and promote that volunteer into that paid role, or if he will be able to, or if he'll turn and use that money to incentivize someone to come in of some real quality. Yeah, that'll be very interesting. But I think Patrick Murphy, look, no one knows the program better than Patrick Murphy. And you can say, oh, arrogance, oh, stubborn, oh, this, oh, that. Maybe a touch of some of that. But I don't, look, I never get arrogance when I talk to Patrick Murphy, ever. I never even get a hint of it. He always looks at me dead in the face. He always thanks me for my time. First time I ever showed up there, he said, hey, who are you? Who do you work for? What are you doing here? Not in a, hey, get out of here, but in a, hey, let me get to know you. And a, hey, I want to actually know who you are. And so, like, look, if people who say, oh, he's too arrogant, no, you're wrong. You're wrong on that. Now, does he maybe have a little stubbornness? Sure. If you've been in coaching 30 years, you have a style, you have a philosophy, you have things that have worked for you. I think it's perfectly reasonable to be just a touch stubborn. Well, Jim Boeheim's still running the 2-3 zone. Nick Saban's still pattern-matching defense. Like, look, these coaches were successful running their styles for a long time. I think Patrick Murphy realizes or knows. Look, there's nobody who goes home feeling the losses, feeling the lack, I don't want to say lack of success, but feeling the failures more than Patrick Murphy. Patrick Murphy goes home knowing, damn, Montana Fouts doesn't have a ring. But what she does have is a great legacy, a great family, a great college softball family, and a fan base who will love her for the rest of her life. So really, was Montana Fouts' career a waste? No, it wasn't a waste at all. It was a joy for me to watch. Just as a joy for me to cover, I hope it was a joy for her to give gifts to the fans based off her performance, and we should just be appreciative of that. Anybody talking about let's put Murph on the hot seat, we'll get him out of town, X, Y, Z, ABC, I think they're really showing you a lack of understanding of what Patrick Murphy has done for this program, how he has built this program, and really just the landscape of college softball. It ain't football where we're just able to soak up every great recruit and erase the competitive nature from the sport. Yes, I know Oklahoma's doing that a little bit, but there's still a lot of parity. It's still a diamond sport. It's still a random sport where anything can happen. And so Murph, You get to the College World Series 14 times. Keep going, my man. Keep going. Keep rolling that dice out there in Oklahoma City. Because, look, and this may be a soft aspect. This may be a soft viewpoint for myself, but I'll just tell you how I view it for myself. When I'm look, when I'm in my own competitions, my silly little competitions, and they are silly. I'll play fantasy football with my buddies. I want to get to the playoffs. If I make it to the playoffs, I know I've had a successful season. I finish in the top four. If I get into those playoffs, at that point, anything random can happen. Anything random can happen, and at that point, you just let it ride. I think that same sort of thing happens when you get to the College World Series in baseball and in softball. You saw that last year in baseball with Ole Miss and Auburn making it all the way to the finals. I think you see that randomness factor in the diamond sports. And so to blame Patrick Murphy, to say, oh, you haven't done enough, you're not doing enough, you don't know enough, you're not qualified, look, that is pure ignorance. Pure ignorance. There's no one working harder to build and to sustain the success for this program than Patrick Murphy. And so I'm excited to see, you know, how he ends up filling that spot, that coaching spot with that paid position. I think it might end. I honestly would expect him to promote the volunteer into the paid position just out of his loyalty because of who he is. And I honestly don't have any problem with that. Now, look, you think, oh, Murph, you've lost your touch. You don't have it. ABC, you're no good. What do you have coming in? What do you have coming in? Oh, you got great recruits. Jenna Johnson's little sister is going to be on the roster. Lauren Johnson. You got Jocelyn Brinsky coming in, pitcher out of Phoenix, Arizona. And look, two days after the season's over, Patrick Murphy goes into the transfer portal and pulls an ace, Caleb Beaver out of Central Arkansas. Caleb Beaver with a 1.15 ERA, a 25-7 record, a finalist for the College Softball Player of the Year. So look, he hasn't lost his touch. He hasn't lost his touch by any means. Do you want to win more national championships? You absolutely do. No question about it. But really, I think, especially in these non-revenue sports, the main goal is to stay relevant, stay competitive. And with Patrick Murphy at the helm, coach, you stay as long as you want. You keep us going to Oklahoma City. You keep going 14 more times, we're going to win a few more. I'm confident of that. I'm very confident that we're going to win a few more as long as he stays at the helm. And why would you want to get rid of, like, here's the problem. You say, oh, let's get rid of Murph. And what's the consequence? You got to go hire somebody. You got to go hire somebody, and would you rather be Kentucky, you know, middling of the pack, gets to a regionals, no consistency? I'm sorry. I love where we are as an Alabama softball program. I think they are one of the best. They're obviously one of the best programs on campus, and the sustained success squarely falls on Patrick Murphy's shoulders. All right, one more topic, and then we'll wrap it up, and then we'll have some fun as well on the close. We'll make fun of Auburn just real quick. But one more topic as we kind of keep this Monday going. I hope you guys are having a fun Monday. And as we set up the topic, I'll let you know tomorrow. I'll let you know kind of the schedule for the rest of the week. Tomorrow we're going to be tomorrow we're going to be joined by Christian Miller. Christian Miller of Alabama football, former Alabama football player. You can hear him on Tide 100.9 hosting the Miller's Edge, and then also on Crimson Tide Sports Network, doing sidelines for Alabama football. So he's going to join me tomorrow. Very proud to have Christian joining. On Wednesday, I'm going to be having Ronnie Cottrell of Mobile Christian School. He's going to join me to talk about Deontay Lawson, and he's going to join me to talk about Sterling Dixon as well. And we might touch on Albert Means, oh boy. So Ronnie Cottrell will join me on Wednesday to talk about Deontay Lawson and Sterling Dixon. And then on Thursday, we're going to be joined by Blake Byler of Blue Collar Unplugged Podcast and Bama Central. Blake Byler is going to join me Thursday to talk about Alabama basketball and all the roster movement, the transfer portal. Oh man, is there a big forward coming? There needs to be two or three. Kaluma Nelson, Grant Nelson, coming to Tuscaloosa this week. We'll see the latest on Grant Nelson from Blake Byler on Thursday. That's going to be the plan for the week. So we're setting up our new topic.
Hey, everybody. Happy June.
And Alabama Crimson Tide received two, not one, but two commitments over the weekend. Now, yes, in two different classes, but great. Alabama receives a commitment from Anthony Rogers. Anthony Rogers from Pike Road, Alabama. He's actually at IMG now for his junior and senior seasons. But Anthony Rogers considered the number one running back in the 2025 class, right out of Pike Road, Alabama. Saw him play as a freshman right here at Hillcrest. He ended up playing Hillcrest. Look, this kid, yes, you look at the measurables, you see 5'8", 185 pounds, and you think, oh my gosh, way too small. Oh my gosh, that's not going to cut it. Nick Saban, what in the world? No. This kid is electric. This kid is incredible. You get him in the open field, bye-bye, not going to catch him, goodbye, gone. You see him in the backfield, he's cutting like Le'Veon Bell, he's waterbugging back and forth, he's cutting, not Le'Veon Bell, I should use an Alabama reference, like my man Najee Harris, waterbugging back and forth in the backfield. So, do you see the numbers, do you see the measurables, and you think, oh, that's a little small? Sure, you do. But you're going to get him on campus, and he is going to just be... he is going to be pure filth with the football in his hands. And I cannot wait to see what he does. Now, it's going to have to be 2 years away. But the 2025 recruiting class right now, the offensive recruiting class, is nasty. Just absolutely nasty. Ryan Williams, number one, really number three player in the whole class, according to 24/7. Show me number one and two. Because Ryan Williams is the best player I saw in high school football last year as just a sophomore. Period. Bar none. No classes. Ryan Williams was the best player I've seen in high school football. So, look, you want to call him the number three player in the 2025 class? That's fine with me. I haven't seen everybody in America. I'm cool with that. But Ryan Williams is just going to be so dirty for Alabama. And so you pair him with Anthony Rogers, and you already have a wide receiver running back combo in this 2025 class that, would make defensive coordinators, give them nightmares at night and give them ulcers as they're studying film, preparing for Alabama football a couple years down the road. Now, also on the football side of things, you ended up getting an offensive lineman in the class of 2025, the class that Alabama is currently working on. Alabama secures Joseph Iannetta from Clearwater, Florida, Calvary Christian School, commits to Alabama over offers from Florida, Miami, and Ole Miss. And you see three-star prospect on his list, and you think, oh, what are we doing with three-star prospects? But I will remind you that Mario Cristobal also wanted him. So look, Eric Wolford, Mario Cristobal saw this guy's tape, two of the best offensive line coaches in the country, and they said, we don't care about stars. This guy's got it. He's got the it factor. We want to go ahead and get him on our team, offering him some scholarships. So Iannetta started at left tackle. He started at left tackle the last 2 years for Calvary Christian, and he's going to be the newest member, the 11th member of the 2024 class. Where do I have him listed at? 6'3", 280-pound tackle. You're obviously wanting to see him get a couple more inches height and probably gain another 20, 25 pounds on the weight side of things. But Joseph Iannetta, now look, he's the son of Joey Iannetta, former All-American at Florida State in the late 80s. You love getting legacies in the program. Our new favorite legacy, Justice Haynes of Georgia football fame. So you love getting legacies. The Brockermeyers a couple classes prior, the Texas legacies. I just enjoy seeing seeing sons spurn their father's schools to go to and carve their new paths, especially when that new path involves the University of Alabama. All right, so one more topic here on the day, and it's been a fun Monday. I really appreciate everybody hanging out with us on the live stream, and if you're listening to me on Spotify or Apple Music, any of our podcast locations, we appreciate Bama Central and the Bama Central Broadcasting Network. You can find us, The Joe Gaither Show, on Bama Central, on Spotify, and on the Apple Podcast Broadcasting Networks. Okay, one more topic. Let's make fun of Auburn real quick. Okay, Auburn baseball, those guys. Okay, if you didn't see it because you were too wrapped up in Alabama baseball, I think that's perfectly fine. Auburn baseball hosted a regional, really a lot of talk that they should not have hosted. A lot of talk that Auburn baseball got a lucky break due to their athletic director, John Cohen, Tuscaloosa native John Cohen, being on the selection committee. And look, I don't care about corruption in that fashion. Do I think that that had something to do with it? Yes, I do. Probably so. Auburn hosts a regional down there at what they call it Plainsman Park. Hosts Samford, Southern Miss, and Penn. And what do they do? What do the Auburn Tigers do? They drop the opener to Penn, and then they subsequently play Saturday and drop the next game, I think, to Southern Miss as well. So Auburn, in two games, goes out. Way to represent the SEC, Auburn. Way to represent the SEC as the premier baseball conference in America. You really, really carry in the banner for the entire Southeastern Conference. As we record, they are the only Southeastern Conference team. Oh, as I continue to scroll to make sure I'm correct. Yeah, as I scroll here, they're the only SEC team that's been eliminated. The Auburn Tigers. Embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Now, I recognize that Texas A&M is still on the brink of elimination. They're going to be playing Stanford in a winner-take-all game, it looks like. LSU still unbeaten over the weekend. Kentucky in a winner-take-all game. Arkansas in the winner's bracket final with the zero losses. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one. I did miss one. Vanderbilt, you lost at home. Two SEC home teams losing at home. Vanderbilt, you lost. Eastern Illinois and Xavier and Oregon knocked you out. The Oregon Ducks knocked you out. So, wow, that's... I'm reacting to that as that's setting into my brain. Vanderbilt and Auburn both failing to carry the water for the SEC this weekend. So it was a lot of fun hanging out with you guys on this Monday. I had a lot of fun at the Joe this weekend. I was there till 1:45, 2 a.m., and 2:15, three nights in a row. I'm very happy that Alabama took care of its business and is not having to play an if-necessary game today. We're going to continue to cover Alabama's postseason run right here on BamaCentral.com and on the Bama Central Broadcasting Network. We're sending our guys Austin Hammond and Will Miller over to Winston-Salem. Maybe Katie Windham will supervise with them as well. We'll let you know about that plan. But whatever happens in the Winston-Salem Super Regional, we will be covering it right here on Bama Central. We'll also be covering recruiting as we are ramping up. It was a huge recruiting weekend right here in Tuscaloosa. It had a lot of guys coming in for big visits. It was a camp weekend, so lots of who's who coming in, and we'll cover it right here on the Joe Gaither Show and on BamaCentral.com. I'm getting out of here for the day. We want to thank our guys, Chris Walsh, for putting me on. Follow him at Chris Walsh. Follow the show at Joe Gaither 6 on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us each and every day. Tell a friend about the show. We're continuing to grow each and every day. That's going to do it for a Monday. For me, Joe Gaither, for you, the listener, we will be back tomorrow with Christian Miller, former Alabama football player, Carolina Panther, and Crimson Tide Sports Network. Christian Miller joining us tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Hope you all have a great Monday, everybody. Roll Tide!
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.